"Ahem," said the rocket, and he began to cough. "What a delightful voice you have," cried the frog. "Really, it's quite like a croak, and croaking is, of course, the most musical sound in the world. You will hear our glee club this evening. We sit in the old duck pond close by the farmer's house, and as soon as the moon rises, we begin. It's so entrancing that everybody lies awake to listen to us. In fact, it was only yesterday that I heard the farmer's wife say to her mother that she could not get a wink of sleep at night on account of us. It is most gratifying to find oneself so popular." "Ahem, ahem," said the rocket angrily. He was very much annoyed that he could not get a word in. "A delightful voice, certainly," continued the frog. "I hope you will come over to the duck pond. I'm off to look for my daughters. I have 6 beautiful daughters, and I'm so afraid the pike may meet them. He's a perfect monster, and would have no hesitation in breakfasting off them. Well, goodbye. I've enjoyed our conversation very much, I assure you." "Conversation, indeed," said the rocket. "You have talked the whole time yourself. That is not conversation." "Somebody must listen," answered the frog, "and I like to do all the talking myself. It saves time and prevents arguments." "But I like arguments," said the rocket. "I hope not," said the frog complacently. "Arguments are extremely vulgar, for everybody in good society holds exactly the same opinions. Goodbye a second time. I see my daughters in the distance," and the little frog swam away. "You are a very irritating person," said the rocket, "and very ill-bred. I hate people who talk about themselves, as you do, when one wants to talk about oneself, as I do. It is what I call selfishness, and selfishness is a most detestable thing, especially to anyone of my temperament, for I'm well known for my sympathetic nature. In fact, you should take example by me. You could not possibly have a better model. Now that you have the chance, you had better avail yourself of it, for I'm going back to court almost immediately. I'm a great favourite at court. In fact, the prince and princess were married yesterday in my honour. Of course, you know nothing of these matters, for you are a provincial." "There's no good talking to him," said a dragonfly, who was sitting on the top of a large brown bulrush. "No good at all, for he's gone away." "Well, that is his loss, not mine," answered the rocket. "Now, I'm not going to stop talking to him merely because he pays no attention. I like hearing myself talk. It is one of my greatest pleasures. I often have long conversations all by myself, and I am so clever that sometimes I don't understand a single word of what I'm saying." "Then you should certainly lecture on philosophy," said the dragonfly, and he spread a pair of lovely gauze wings and soared away into the sky. "Now, very silly of him not to stay here," said the rocket. "I'm sure that he has not often got such a chance of improving his mind. However, I don't care a bit. Genius like mine is sure to be appreciated some day." And he sank down a little deeper into the mud. After some time, a large white duck swam up to him. She had yellow legs and webbed feet, and was considered a great beauty on account of her waddle.
"Quack, quack, quack," she said. "What a curious shape you are. May I ask, were you born like that, or is it the result of an accident?"
"It is quite evident that you have always lived in the country," answered the rocket. "Otherwise you would know who I am. However, I excuse your ignorance. It would be unfair to expect other people to be as remarkable as oneself. You will no doubt be surprised to hear that I can fly up into the sky and come down in a shower of golden rain."
"I don't think much of that," said the duck, "as I cannot see what use it is to anyone. Now, if you could plough the fields like the ox, or draw a cart like the horse, or look after the sheep like the collie dog, that would be something."
"My good creature," cried the rocket in a very haughty tone of voice, "I see that you belong to the lower orders. A person of my position is never useful. We have certain accomplishments, and that is more than sufficient. I have no sympathy myself with industry of any kind, least